was one of the first composers to dine with his hosts, rather than with the help when he performed in his patrons' homes. I don't think he could operate as an artist without the feeling that he was at war with someone or something. This fighting mode is not for everyone, but there's something to be said for getting into a warrior's frame of mind, especially when you're troubled by some aspect of your creative life. If something isn't right in the piece you're working on, you can't always fix it by the sheer application of skill. Tinkering and tweaking will only take you so far. Sometimes, to force change, you have to attack the work with outrage and violence. You see this a lot of times with students who, in their work, pick fights with their teachers. Instinctively, they sense they'll be judged on whom they do battle with. They know that in order to break away and find their own voice, they must defy, even mock, their artistic mentors. You won't always win, but the exercise is liberating. 17. Our perfect world. If I were sublimely fortunate, I would work in my perfect world daily. At rare times, I have been privileged to work with dancers on the following basis. I am exchanging my time for theirs, with no money or performance goals, no ulterior motive other than the mutual challenge in sight, just working together to create in an empty space. I call this uncomplicated condition our perfect world. These are my ground rules. Quiet. No one is present who does not belong, no observers. All the time in the world. No worry that you will be thrown out or that you will go into overtime. No goal other than to try things. No fear of failure. Nothing will fail. No obligations other than to do your best. We entertain each other. I challenge them, and they challenge me. Each day completes itself. The next day is new. My perfect world does not exist, but it's there as a goal. What are the conditions of your perfect world? Which of them are essential, and which can you work around? You may discover that you are not that far from heaven. 18. How to be lucky. Be generous. I don't use that word lightly. Generosity is luck going in the opposite direction, away from you. If you are generous to someone, if you do something to help him out, you are in effect making him lucky. This is important. It's like inviting yourself into a community of good fortune. Whenever I feel I'm working in a groove, it's invariably because I feel I am being the benefactor in the situation rather than the beneficiary. I am sharing my art with others, lending my craft to theirs, interest-free with no IOU. I want the dancers to look great, so I try to give them great steps. In return, they live up to the potential I see in them. Then I am the one who feels lucky. In the luck equation, who is the winner here? Someone once asked me why the superstar dancers of the ballet world don't make very good choreographers. The quick answer is that few of them have the facility to teach effectively, since a lot of what they do has come so easily to them. But I think the bigger issue is generosity. Stars become stars because they have a gift for pulling the world into them. They draw people's attention through their beauty, talent, charisma, and wiles. As a result, I don't think they're generally willing to project their own artistic hopes and desires onto other people. They are used to having their own assets supported. This isn't selfishness or egotism. It's simply a part of their creative DNA. The way they are. To be a great choreographer or teacher, you have to invest everything you have in your dancers. You have to be so devoted to them and to the finished creation that your dancers become your heroes. It takes courage to be generous like that, to believe that the better the dancers look, or the actors in your film, or the singers of your song, the better the scene will play, and the more satisfying the work itself will be. Without that generosity, you'll always hold something back. The finished work shows it, and your audience knows it. It took me years to appreciate this. When I was younger, read, more limber, athletic, and strong, I used to do this awful thing to myself. Whatever dance I was working on, I would literally put myself in the center of the piece, even though I knew full well that I wasn't going to get to perform it. For a few years there, when I was in my 40s and could still move well, I would get really pissy when the inevitable moment arrived and I would have to recuse myself from this piece and hand it over to one of my dancers. Of course, injecting myself into the piece was one of the ways I identified what the piece was about. Every director does this, tries each role on herself. But each advancing year taught me a little more about generosity. Nearing my 6th decade, I could no longer rationally harbor illusions that I was the only one who could perform my work. In fact, I couldn't. If I could, it would not have been challenging enough for my extraordinary, read, younger, dancers. Age forced me to learn how to give everything to my dancers. That's not an easy lesson to learn, but I'm grateful for it. Still pissed off, but grateful. I cannot overstate how much a generous spirit contributes to good luck. Look at the luckiest people around you, the ones you envy, the ones who seem to have destiny falling habitually into their laps. What are they doing that singles them out? It isn't dumb luck if it happens repeatedly. If they're anything like the fortunate people I know, they're prepared. They're always working at their craft. They're alert. They involve their friends in their work. And they tend to make others feel lucky to be around them. 19. Work with the best. If it's true that who you are now and who you will be in 5 years depend on what books you read and what people you meet, then you need to think more aggressively about those you invite into your creative life. New collaborators bring new vectors of energy into your static world, and they can be combustible. When people say they have good chemistry with others, they're not using